بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam took Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu by his hand and enumerated five advices. The first advice is ittaqillah takun a'badan nas. Refrain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstain from everything that brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstain from everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. If you do that, takun a'badan nas, you will become the most pious of the people. Ittaqil maharim, takun a'badan nas. Abstain from prohibited things. Abstain from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And if you are able to do that, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of sallallahu in the eyes of alayhi wa sallam, in the eyes of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will become the most pious of the people. The deceit of shaitan is very cunning. He is our eternal enemy. He is our open enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shaitan is your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan, for the humans, is an open enemy. There is no doubt about his enmity. Because he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will definitely come to the humans, to the children of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, from their front, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, from their back, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, from their right, وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, from their left. That means I will attack them from all four directions. And he was so confident in regard to his efforts in misleading the humans, misleading the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam from the right path, that he said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. O Allah, you will not find majority of them grateful to you. Either a person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or ungrateful. In order for one to be truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to accept Iman. He has to safeguard himself from infidelity, from rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, from disbelieving. He has to abstain from shirk, idolatry. He has to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his being, and also in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his attributes. So in his being also Allah is only one, and in his attributes also Allah is only one. He has to abstain from hypocrisy, nifaq. From inside he is a non-believer, but from outside he is a believer. And thereafter he has to carry out all the faraiz and the wajibat, the obligatory and the compulsory commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he needs to abstain from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, has made haram. Be it in the category of haram or be it in the category of makruhe tahrimi. From all haram and from all makruhate tahrimiyat. Such a person will be seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a person who is truly grateful to him. And thereafter, if a person carries out the sunan and also the mustahabbat and also the nawafil, the optional deeds, then such a person in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen as a person who has excelled in shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a very high level. If a person cannot abstain from disbelief, idolatry, hypocrisy, he cannot accept Iman, he does not accept Iman for whatever reason, then such a person is at the lowest ebb of being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he accepts Iman, then he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if after believing, he abstains from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he carries out all the faraid, he carries out all the wajibat, he abstains from all haram, he abstains from all makruhat tahrimiyah, then he will be seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a person who is truly grateful, who is truly shakir. So one who accepts Iman only, but does not abstain from maharim, does not abstain from prohibited things, that includes carrying out the faraiz and the wajibat, because not carrying out the faraiz and not carrying out the wajibat, to carry out faraiz, to carry out wajibat is compulsory. So not to carry out a farz, not to carry out a wajib, that is also from prohibited things. Do not miss Fajr Salat. This is prohibited. To miss Fajr Salat is prohibited. To miss a fast, a single fast in the month of Ramadan is prohibited. Not to give zakah is prohibited. So al-maharim covers all the haram actions, all the makruhat tahrimiyah, all the faraiz and all the wajibat. So a person believes, a person accepts Iman, in all the tenets of faith, but thereafter does not fully carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not abstain from all the prohibited items, then such a person will not be seen as a true shakir. He will not be seen as a true shakir. So shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will come from the front, I will come from the back, I will come from the right, I will come from the left. I will not leave any stone unturned. I will do anything I can to make sure that the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam do not remain shakir. I will try my utmost that they do not remain shakir. They do not remain ungrateful. They do not remain grateful to you. They do not carry out the commands and the obligations that you have laid down upon them. And he said that I will work so hard that I am telling you, لا تجدوا أكثرهم شاكرين. You will not find majority of them grateful to you. Majority of them will fail. I will make sure that they do not remain grateful to you. Because a shakir will go in Jannah. And a non-shakir will not be able to go in Jannah. A shakir will be able to go in Jannah. And a non-shakir will not be able to go in Jannah. And non-shakir are of two types. The one who doesn't believe at all. He is a disbeliever. Or he is an idolater. Or he is a hypocrite. He will never be able to go in Jannah. And the other person who believes but does not abstain from the prohibited things. He does not abstain from the prohibited things. He does not abstain from haram. He does not abstain from makruhati tahrimiya. He does not abstain from missing faraiz, missing wajibat. Then such a person will go in Jannah, but probably first he will have to go in the fire of Jahannam. I'm saying probably because with certain servants of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grace them, and through his infinite grace and mercy will forgive them and grant them entry into Jannah without them having to go in the fire of Jahannam for punishment. But probably there is that possibility that the sinner will have to go in the fire of Jahannam first and then eventually he will go in Jannah. So it is shaitan's aim that because of Adam, I was deprived of Jannah and I am doomed to the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. I will try my utmost to make sure that each and every child of his also enters the fire of Jahannam. And his first aim is that each and every child should enter the fire of Jahannam and remain in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. So he will not let them accept Iman. They will remain in disbelief, they will remain in idolatry, they will remain in hypocrisy. And if they accept Iman, then Shaitan's second aim is to engage them in maharim, engage them in prohibited things. Because when a person after accepting Iman engages in prohibited things, he is not a complete shakir. And an incomplete shakir cannot go in Jannah directly. And sometimes as a result of being a non-complete shakir, a person may lose the status of shakir altogether. As a result of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again, a person may lose Iman. A person may enter the fold of disbelief or idolatry or hypocrisy. So he will go in the fire of Jahannam forever ever and ever. But if Shaitan is unable to do that, at least he will try to make sure that a person goes in the fire of Jahannam
and burning the fire of Jahannam for 5 years, 10 years, 100 years, 500 years, he must go in Jahannam. Because it is because of Adam and the human that I was doomed to the fire of Jahannam forever. But if a person believes, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that alhamdulillah we are all believers. Only through the infinite mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have been blessed with iman. We are all believers, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to safeguard this iman. So we are believers. And after believing, if a person becomes a shakir, a true shakir, a complete shakir, kamil shakir, by abstaining from maharim, then upon his death, the grave will become a garden from the gardens of paradise for him. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be granted shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be granted his book of deed in his right hand. He will experience an easy reckoning. He will cross the Sirat with the speed of lightning, and he will enter Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam even for a few moments. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqil maharim, abstain from prohibited things. That means abstain from haram, abstain from makruhati tahrimiya, abstain from violating the farais, and abstain from violating the wajibat. Takun a'badan nas. You will get a place in that category of people who are the most religious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the most pious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who will be granted entering into Jannah without any account, without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. But shaitan is our eternal enemy. He is our open enemy. He is clear enemy. Allah says, Inna shaitana lakum aduun. Shaitan is your enemy. Fattahiduhu aduwa. So treat him as your enemy. Make him your enemy. Never be fooled by him. So because he is our enemy, he will try his utmost. Number one, the human should not accept iman. So he can go in the fire of Jahannam and stay with me forever and ever. If he accepts iman, then to deprive him of iman, to make his iman weak, he will encourage him and he will lure him to do those things which Allah has made prohibited. So that his iman can become weaker and one day he may lose his iman. Or if he doesn't lose his iman, then at least for some years he will go in the fire of Jahannam. At least he will burn. So shaitan will get some satisfaction that okay, he is going in Jannah, but before going in Jannah, he is going to suffer at least for a few years. So it is very, very important, my friends, that with this great ni'mat of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, we remain firm and we abstain from all the prohibited things that Allah has made prohibited upon us. We abstain from all the haram, we abstain from all the makruhati tahrimiya, and we abstain from violating all the farais and all the wajibat. Then inshallah we will become shakir in its true sense. And with that, if we are able to excel even more in shukr, and acquire a position amongst the very, very close muqarrabeen, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have excelled in shukr by carrying out the sunan, by carrying out the mustahabbat, by carrying out the nawafil. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But shaitan is very tricky. So when a person becomes religious, what does shaitan do? When a person becomes religious, what does shaitan do? In order to deceive him, shaitan will engage him in those actions which will excel him in shukr if he was to become a true shakir. So those things that would make him even more better if he had become a true shakir. So if he was abstaining from all the prohibited things and then he was to carry out the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil, he would excel more and more. So shaitan will not let this person do both things at the same time, because shaitan knows that if he abstains from the prohibited things and thereafter he also carries out the sunan and the mustahabbat and the nawafil, he will excel very high. And Allah will grant him very high status in his court, in Jannah. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan will engage this person who is not obeying him. He is very firm. No, I want to become religious. I want to remain religious. So shaitan will keep this person ignorant. He will not let him understand the true picture of deen, the true structure of deen, and he will engage him in sunan, mustahabbat and nawafil, and make him neglect the maharim. Make him neglect the maharim. And for as long as a person neglects maharim means he does not abstain from maharim, then such a person cannot be called a complete shakir in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, you have a person who performs Isha Salat with Jamaat, he performs Fajr Salat with Jamaat, and throughout the night he remains in his bed sleeping. So as far as Isha, Fajr and the night Ibadat is concerned, he is a true shakir, he is a complete shakir. And you have another person who performs Isha Salat with Jamaat, Fajr with Jamaat and spends the whole night in Tahajjud. Then he is a person who has excelled in shukr to a higher status. And you have a third person who may have performed Isha Salat and who engages the whole night in Ibadat, or who has, and thereafter he misses his Fajr Salat. He has performed all the salat of Isha, all the rakats of Isha. All the rakats of Isha. Thereafter, all night he remains in Ibadat. And he only omits 4 rakats of Fajr. 2 sunnah and 2 nafal. 2 sunnah and 2 fard. Only fard, 4 rakat he misses. Or he even performs 2 sunnah, but he omits 2 rakat fard only. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not a true shakir. He is not a true shakir. He cannot go direct in Jannah. First he will have to go in the fire of Jahannam and then he will go in Jannah. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan will first and foremost stop us from accepting iman. But if we stand our ground and we accept iman, then number two, he will try to engage us in maharim, in prohibited things. In prohibited things. If we stand our ground that no, I want to become a religious person, I can't just accept iman, I want to do good things as well, then he will engage us in the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. So from morning till evening, and evening till morning, from Saturday to Friday,
From January to December, if we assess our lives, all we will be able to see is goodness in our lives. I'm performing Umrah. I'm going for Nafal Hajj every year. I have constructed this masjid and that masjid. I am donating to so many madaris. I am feeding so many poor people. Whenever somebody meets me, I do salam. I go for ta'ziyah. I go for iyadat. Alhamdulillah, these are all good deeds. But whilst doing all this, he is engaged in ghibah, backbiting. He is engaged in slandering, accusing people for no reason. He is engaged in not giving zakah. He is engaged in not fasting in the month of Ramadan. He is not fulfilling the rights of his neighbor, which is compulsory, which is obligatory. He is not fulfilling the rights of his wife. She is not fulfilling the rights of her husband. He or she not fulfilling the rights of their parents. The parents are not fulfilling the rights of the children. These are all compulsory actions. So a person remains in this illusion that I am very religious. Only on the day of Qiyamah he will realize that I don't belong to the group of the Kamil Shakirin. I am not amongst them. Because I have been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we need to do, my friends, what we need to do is to make sure that we work very, very hard and we acquire knowledge. We need to understand what is farz. What items are farz in deen? What items are wajib in deen? We recite the Quran. We recite the Quran. How many times do you recite the Quran? 5 times in a year. How many times do you complete the Quran? Once in a year. How many times do you complete the Quran? Once in every 2 years. How many times do you complete the Quran? 12 times in a year. We complete the Quran. But do we know? Do we know how much is compulsory in the whole year? What is the minimum requirement for me to recite in a whole year? Do we know? Lack of knowledge is very, very dangerous for the hereafter. We need to know what is haram. We need to know what is makruh-e-tahrimi. We need to know what is farz. We need to know what is wajib. So we are able to follow this hadith. Ittaqil maharim. Abstain from the prohibited things. If we don't know what is farz, what is wajib, what is halal, what is makruh-e-tahrimi, how will we abstain from maharim? Violating any farz belongs to the category of maharim. Violating any wajib belongs to the category of maharim. Carrying out any haram act belongs to the category of maharim. And carrying out any makruh-e-tahrimi belongs to the category of maharim. If we don't know these categories, how will we know what is haram? And if we don't know what is haram, how will we be able to abstain from maharim? And if we cannot abstain from maharim, we cannot become a'badun nas. We cannot become a shakir in its true sense. And if we cannot become a shakir in its true sense, then on the day of Qiyamah, there is no guarantee that we will go direct into Jannah. Never mind the day of Qiyamah. For a person who is not a complete shakir, for a person who is not a true shakir, there is no guarantee that he will die with iman. There is no guarantee that he will be granted peace in the grave. There is no peace that on the day of Qiyamah he will experience an easy reckoning. And there is no guarantee that he will go in Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. So one thing we need to do is to sit in the company of the ulama, in the durus of the ulama, attend the durus of the ulama, read authentic books written by reliable ulama with sound aqidah, who belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Read books under the guidance of the ulama and acquire ilm. And once ilm is acquired, abstain from haram. Abstain from makruh-e-tahrimi, abstain from violating farz, abstain from violating wajib. And with this effort, try to carry out as many sunan as possible. Try to carry out as many mustahabbat as possible and try to carry out as many nawafil as possible. Because the mustahabbat, the nawafil and the sunan will not make you a complete shakir without you abstaining from all the maharim. But they will help you in acquiring the stamina and the strength to abstain from maharim. So there are so many people whom shaitan has misled into thinking that alhamdulillah we are very religious. We are very religious. And they are engaged in sunan, engaged in nawafil, engaged in mustahabbat, umrah after umrah, hajj after hajj. They spend so much on other people. When did you become religious? When did you make tawbah? When did you become religious? When did you start performing your fard salat? 10 years ago. How old were you? I was 50 years old. So until 50 years, the salat that you missed, are you performing those salat? Are you making qada? That is fard. So you are violating the fard. But tahajjud you are performing daily. Ishraq you are performing daily. Chashth you are performing daily. Awwabin you are performing daily. After performing wudu, you are performing tahiyyatul wudu. Upon entry into the masjid, you are performing tahiyyatul masjid. Nafla after nafla, nafla after nafla, nafla after nafla, instead of performing the fard. When did you repent? When I was 40 years old. Until 40 years old, did you give zakah? No, I didn't give zakah. But after that, I have been giving zakah regularly. But what about the zakah of the past 20, 30 years if it was fard upon you? No, but I'm spending a lot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm building masjids, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Nafl, this is nafl. What about your fard, zakah? What about the money that you are owing to people? You repented just 5 years ago. Until then, the money you took from people and you did not give return their money. So after repenting, now you are not cheating people. Now you are not looting people. But what about the money you had looted before? And now you are constructing masajid. Instead of constructing masajid, return the money to their lawful owners. So those people who carry out sunan, who carry out mustahabbat, who carry out nawafil, with this in mind, that I will carry out these actions because these actions will bring some spirituality in me. And that spirituality will help me overcome my weaknesses in abstaining from maharim. Alhamdulillah, that's good. So you're trying your best to abstain from maharim. And in order to abstain from maharim, you are using sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil as a support. Alhamdulillah. But if a person is reclining only on sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil, and he is not paying attention to the faraiz, the wajibat, the haram and the makruhat, the tahrimiyah, he will be nothing but a loser on the day of Qiyamah. He will be nothing but a loser in the hereafter. He will be nothing but a loser in the grave. And possibly at the time of death as well. May Allah forbid. I will end my talk with a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَزْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant does not acquire my nearness, my proximity through anything which is more beloved to me than that action which I have made compulsory upon him. And what has Allah made compulsory upon us? All the farais, all the wajibat, and abstaining from haram and makruhati tahrimiyah. That is also fard. So when a person abstains from haram, that action brings a person very close to Allah. When a person abstains from makruhati tahrimi, that action brings a person very close to Allah. When a person carries out a fard, that brings him very close to Allah. When a person carries out a wajib, that brings him very close to Allah. You have one person who is performing 2 rakat fard and another person 1000 rakat nafal. This 2 rakat fard will bring him more closer to Allah than the 1000 rakat nafal. And once he has the farais in control, he has the farais, he has become a true shakir. Thereafter, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. And he, my servant, continues to come close to me, acquire my proximity, my nearness through optional deeds.
through sunan, through mustahabbat, and through nawafil. Hatta uhibbahu. Until he becomes beloved to me. Until I begin to love him, he becomes beloved to me. So, ittaqil maharim. Stay away from prohibited things. And thereafter, continue carrying out sunan, mustahabbat and nawafil, you will become the beloved of Allah. And when he becomes beloved to me, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, when he becomes beloved to me, then I supervise him. I look after him. Not a single limb of his body will be able to do wrong after that. Because he is my beloved now. And if he is my beloved, what would you do with your beloved? Would you let your beloved go and burn in the fire? No. So you have become the beloved of Allah. Allah will not let you burn in the fire. So he will save you from anything that takes you towards fire. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, when he becomes beloved to me, كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become his ears with which he hears. That means I become his ears, means that I control his ears. I will not let him hear anything wrong. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا, I become his eyes with which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا, I become his hands with which he touches. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, I become his feet with which he walks. And because now he is my beloved and I supervise him, so he will not do anything which will hurt me, which will make me unhappy. So he is so great in my eyes. His status is so great in my eyes. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ, if he asks from me, I will definitely grant it to him. And if he seeks my refuge from anything that may cause him harm, I will definitely grant him refuge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to abstain from all maharim. Abstain from all haram, abstain from all makruhati tahrimiyya, to abstain from violating farais, to abstain from violating the wajibat. And may Allah grant us even more tawfiq so that we are able to carry out all the sunan, all the mustahabbat, and all the nawafil, and abstain from all the makruhati tanzihiyya, so that we may excel very high, very high, very high. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be two categories of people in Jannah. There will be many categories, but first two categories. And then in those two categories, many categories. So the main two categories, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, for you in Jannah will be what your hearts will desire. And for you in Jannah will be what you will ask for. So those who are truly shakir, they are of the lower category. And those who have excelled in shukr by carrying out the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil, after abstaining from all the prohibited things, they are of a higher category. So two categories. The lower category in Jannah, they will have to ask, oh Allah, can I have this? And the people of the higher category, they will not even have to ask. Only the thought will enter their minds that I want this and Allah will grant it. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا, for you in Jannah will be what your hearts desire. This is for the other category, the higher category of shakirin. And وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ, for you in Jannah will be that which you will call for, which you will ask for. That is the category of the shakirin, the average shakirin, the kamil shakirin. But Allah says, نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ, both groups and both categories will be my guests, and I, the Ghafoor and the Rahim, will be their host. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice whatever we have discussed today under this hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which is narrated by Imam Tirmizi rahimahullahu ta'ala in his Kitab al-Riqaq, so that just as we gather here every Tuesday and sit and discuss the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be able to gather together in Jannah also and enjoy the ni'mats of Jannah just as we are sitting here all together. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.